Yeah, so I guess these are the papers that I can think of. And actually, there is some additional work apart from Petal in the late 1990s.
Okay.
So for instance, I guess that if you look at some of these papers, for instance, if you look at SafeStore, it will reference Petal and it will reference some of those other papers as well.
Okay.
So that's a good way of finding related
yeah.
work by looking at some of these recent papers which are known to be from good groups and published in good places, because they will have an extensive related work survey. Yeah, and certainly the third thing here is fault tolerance. I guess the reliability and availability, all of those are addressed within fault tolerance. So there is a whole bunch of work that this is maybe just a part of the work. As you read these papers, as you look at their related work, you'll find stuff. There is also a whole bunch of related work in the distributed file systems domain.
Right.
The question is, what sort of advantages having a distributed block store? Now, one thing that you can think of is, now you have a really large disk.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, there is one paper that was in FAST 2009 that we did not review, but that also talks about scaling block storage. It's called Expandable Network Disk. So I can send you that as well.
Okay.
I don't know if that paper will make it or not, but you can see how other people are arguing for having a distributed block store.
Yeah. So
yeah, there are a whole bunch of papers, I think, which need to be read.
Mm-hmm.
And
So you were about to tell me the
power management.
The power management. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So the idea there is, you have a whole bunch of machines in a data center and a whole bunch of, let's say, storage nodes in a data center.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how can we save power?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a data center, actually, disk is argued to be the second most power consuming.
Right.
Because the first is CPU, mm-hmm. and then you have disk. There is no display, like you would have in a desktop.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What about the memory? No, the memory is not.
Memory is probably after disk.
Okay.
So the question is, how can we save power? The assumption is that you have a whole bunch of different multi-disk storage devices. And we are talking about, so far, at least the way I'm thinking is that we are looking at commodity RAID systems.
Okay.
So you have a whole bunch of commodity RAID systems that are being accessed by different workloads that are in the data center.
Mm-hmm.
And the other assumption is that there is these disk drives are not all accessed at the same frequency. Okay, so which means that there is more traffic to some of the disk drives and there is lesser traffic to other disk drives, and this can actually vary over time. So maybe some web servers are much more active during night and others are much more active during daytime. So that is sort of one of the assumptions. Or you know, much longer time granularity.
Okay.
So during some weeks, certain servers and certain disk drives are much more active. So the question is, can we move or offload some of the workload for specific disk drives to other disk drives in different in a different RAID environment and divert all that traffic to the other RAID? So that is sort of the idea. So one of the things that you need to be careful about is that the reliability that the RAID provides cannot be compromised. So we still want, despite the fact that data is being served from a different RAID, we still want the consistency. I should say rather the two things. Certainly consistency is important, and also reliability is important. So if I have one, if my original RAID system could tolerate one failure, then regardless of what I do and turn off which disk, I should still be able to tolerate.
Right.
So those are the goals.
Maintain the
fault tolerance.
The same tolerance as well.
Yeah, okay. Maintaining the same tolerance to faults. So we have made some discussions. We have had some discussions about what sort of design issues there are, and I can actually send you a set of PowerPoint slides that we have been using as a discussion mechanism. I think that PowerPoint is more or less complete.
Okay.
I mean, of course, there are still a whole bunch of unanswered questions, but I think if you read the PowerPoint slides, you will mostly understand. And if you don't, then certainly I can explain.
Okay.
But the idea is that you want to monitor activity to each disk in all the RAID systems, and monitor which disk drives are being utilized less, and then obtain their working sets. Okay, so monitor the working sets of disk drives over a period of several days. So,
but when you say these drives, you mean individual disk
disks in a RAID. So,
in a RAID.
Did you write these things down?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's say you have several RAIDs, right? And you have disk drives within each of them, right? And so we are monitoring activity to each disk and maintaining some sort of a working set information about each disk. And one of the goals is to use wide stripe. And the goal with wide striping is that we actually create skewness in the disk utilization. If we use narrow striping, what happens is that all the disks are being used. But if you use wide striping, then there is a possibility, you increase the possibility of, you know, of some sort of skewness of utilization. So you monitor the working sets to each of those disks, and say, so I have some working set 1, so on to working set n, right? And then I say, okay, at some periodic granularity, let's say once per week, I'm going to look at all the working sets and find out which are the disk drives with smaller working sets.
Okay.
And then, let's say a working set K is really small. What I'm going to do is I'm going to replicate the working set on this K to a different RAID altogether.
Okay.
And
okay.
And the reason for doing
so
that...
So use a RAID, complete RAID just for that disk, that's what you mean, or...
No. Yeah, so... Yeah, so it doesn't have to be on one RAID, it could be distributed across more than one RAID.
Okay.
But the idea is that for each, this is like, if you remember our discussion on upgrade, on each disk, we have a partition that is going to be used for these replicas. And then we choose disk drives which are more utilized.
Right.
And which we know are not going to be idle for long periods of time. So we actually piggyback IOs on those disk drives.
Okay.
So that is sort of the idea here.
Okay, so that means that in each time you will have a fixed mapping of disk K to some other disk at any given time. I mean,
and you could have, for instance, what are the parameters? There are a whole bunch of different design points that you can think of, right? So one is, well, where should I create my replicas? Which disk drive should I use as target? Should I use the ones which are most utilized, or should I use the ones which are medium utilized?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are some questions in terms of what sort of performance guarantees that need to be provided. Certainly reliability is extremely important, and because reliability is important, that is the reason why we don't want to create replicas here onto the disk in the same RAID, because then I cannot tolerate two disk failures.
Okay.
Because if I lose this disk, then I lose up-to-date data. That's why we move it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if we lose a disk here, then I can reconstruct the data on this partition using the other partitions within this disk. So sort of the failure of in this RAID and in this RAID are independent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they have independent failure modes, and that's why it is okay to maintain just one replica.
Right. So yeah. So that means that you. No, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so that's, so what sort of performance guarantees? So then the question is, how many replicas should I have?
Mm-hmm.
I can choose to have more replicas for some data and fewer replicas for other data.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the goal is to create more opportunities for turning off disk drives.
Right.
Because I want to turn off this disk drive for as long period as possible, maybe the next 1 week,
mm-hmm.
and be able to run off... But the goal is not to turn off disk drives for 1 week. That's not our goal. Our goal is to be able to turn off disk drives for reasonable periods of time where it makes sense to actually have the disk powered off than to have it running continuously. So, for instance, to turn off the disk for, I don't know, even half an hour may be breaking even. But we don't want to be doing this at a very coarse granularity. We want to do it at a much bigger granularity. Maybe once per week or two times per week, I want to do the data movement.
Mm-hmm.
I can turn on and off disks at a much more finer granularity. Maybe I can choose to observe and turn off disks every 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I move data in a much finer, larger granularity, and I choose to turn on and turn off disks at a much finer granularity.
Okay.
So that is sort of the idea. So how many replicas, where do I create my replicas? Where do I replicate?
So if you have...
these are the questions that...
I guess this doesn't need like support of the operating system, right? All this can be done in this respect. As long as you have your existing software rate.
In user space.
And the other thing is that you can do this only if you are using software.
Yeah. That is certainly one of the assumptions, is that we are using software.
Right. So, yeah, you can do all this in user space or not.
So how do we realize this is a question that we have not explored yet.
Mm-hmm.
No, how do we implement this?
Right.
At this point, we're just still at the looking at the design issues and whether.
But it's also important to see if all the design is possible to do, right?
Whether it's feasible or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether it's practical.
Right.
And yeah, that is certainly something which is important. Based on my initial thinking, for instance, there could be some sort of
some kind of even hardware controller.
Mm-hmm.
So we could take the same approach that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a single big box.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hardware controller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I have a whole bunch of RAIDs inside.
Okay, I see. So we work on the hardware.
So everything is done inside the hardware.
Okay.
But, so this is a simplified way of selling it.
Yeah.
But they want to also say that, well, this can be used in a more commodity environment. Right? So in a commodity environment, how would this work? And I think that question has not yet been answered. We need some more thought. And similar to how, for instance, workout would be used in a commodity environment,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So, for instance, we could think of software RAID
mm-hmm.
and have this whole idea in a distributed fashion. So, this is just some, you know, I haven't really thought this through yet. It's just I'm thinking loud. So we could have, for instance, let's say I have two machines, and each of these have RAIDs in them. I have a software RAID here.
Mm-hmm.
Also have a software RAID.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, of course, managing two software RAIDs. Actually, it just needs to be one. You just have partition, virtual partition, right? And here I could monitor at this level. I have sort of an extended software RAID, so this is the optimizer. So
mm-hmm.
this monitors working set, okay, and it communicates with the remote optimizer and says, well, I'm looking for moving a whole bunch of data to one of the drives on your machine. Is that something that's feasible? This sort of simplest case with but we can also make this more distributed, where we have one central node which collects all the information about the working set. So these guys report all the working sets, and then this guy manages all the space. All space the these are the this is the space I'm talking about.
The OPD space,
this guy manages.
Okay.
And so I have a centralized node that will tell each of these guys where to do the replication.
Yeah, and okay, excellent. So what you're saying is that the controller, let's say the big controller,
yeah,
will manage all these spaces to, for instance, improve reliability, let's say, or improve
performance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of a generic architecture.
Right. So right.
Yeah. So you could, you know, think of, you know, it's very straightforward to make this, right? So you monitor working sets here, you communicate with some user space entity. So you have user space entities on each, and these are the guys who communicate with the server, and then also communicate back decisions to the kernel guy that is going to manage the indirection, consistency.
Right.
So this is the overall idea.
But it's an idea that you come up right now, or?
What, that one?
Yeah. Or
yeah.
You were thinking about
it. I hadn't thought about the feasibility and practical implementation. These two I thought about now.
Okay.
So which means that there may certainly be bugs.
I see. Yeah, this is more like a large scale
distributed storage
upgrade.
Large scale upgrade, yes.
Yeah, for multiple nodes instead of just optimizing one RAID.
Yeah, for instance, something like a workout can be done with this model.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Upgrade, actually, workout fits better this model. If you have something like this, you want to use workout. You don't want to use upgrade. Upgrade actually helps when you have just a single standalone
exactly.
RAID system.
Exactly.
And you want to improve that.
Exactly. But this is even better, right? Because, you know,
yeah, certainly. This is a more flexible model, but it requires that you have a distributed storage system. If you have a single storage system, like a single RAID, then you can, this
yeah,
doesn't help.
Well, we can assume that these data centers have a lot of, can use this model very well.
Yeah, certainly. So I think it is feasible. Certainly we need to work out more details of the feasibility.
Yeah,
something
of course
that
it's feasible.
The goal now really is to, you know, address feasibility from a different angle, which is in the real workloads, is there opportunity for power saving? Is there enough skewness in the disk utilization to create that kind of workload that allows for you to identify working sets that are smaller and move them across RAIDs.
Yeah, but for that, you need some traces, right?
Yeah. So we could use some of the traces that we have, for instance, with the web server.
Yeah, but even though it's just one machine.
It is one machine, that's true. Ricardo has a some additional traces for a different environment, for multiple web servers.
Okay.
So we could look at that as well.
That's motivated, right?
Yeah.
Your seems like a different thing.
You can argue that, well, if I have narrow striping, then I will not have skewness. But in that case, maybe you can move entire RAIDs, you know, switch them on and off. The granularity in which you are switching on and off will increase. So you can turn down entire RAID systems and move all the working set to a different RAID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing I was thinking that, it is, of course, I guess more simple, right? Instead of, but I don't know, instead of using small portions of the disk that already exists, instead of doing that, use a disk or some storage that is dedicated for those specific things.
The question is, how many disks do we need?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, that's certainly another model which we thought about earlier. And we had some arguments that made us move in this direction. I'm trying to remember what they were. I guess one of the arguments was you can create only one replica. Having more than one replica on a single device does not make much sense. Right. And so you have lesser disk arms, lesser number of disk arms if you want to buy more disk. And the argument is that capacity is actually free, more or less free, but disk arms are not, and disk drives are not free. So that those are some of the arguments, but there, I think there are better arguments. Oh yeah, what about... So this that extra disk should also be part of the RAID, because you need the reliability.
Yeah.
You need the reliability.
Yeah, you need the RAID. Probably in that case, probably then what you need is a dedicated RAID.
You need a dedicated RAID. For it's like a workout where there is a single disk that supports all the workloads. Single RAID that supports
right.
all the workloads during reconstruction.
Right.
And in this case, that single RAID will support all the workloads all the time.
Right.
And that's just like another. Yeah, that's another possibility. But then there are not a whole bunch of options. You don't have many options, and you have to pay the additional power to keep that
that's
additional
true.
RAID
active. Yeah.
So those are some of the... I'm trying to think what are the advantages of doing that.
I don't know.
Our goal is to sort of do, I mean, initially we were thinking about doing this at a fine granularity, but we realized that maybe it would make much more sense to move data around at a much coarser granularity, you know, once per week or once in 3 days or something like that, rather than keep moving data all the time. Then you can create more replicas, create fewer replicas as required. There are certainly other basic questions like, how do we define the working set? Do I look at all the blocks that were accessed in the last 1 week or not? There are a whole bunch of studies. There is one study which I think is pretty important. Which we did not review in our paper club, which we should.
Which one?
I think it appeared in USENIX 08, maybe. No, actually USENIX 07. About analyzing NFS traces. That's from Network Appliance and UC Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Ethan Miller, do you know Ethan Miller?
No, but sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a professor at UC Santa Cruz. And
so, are you planning to go to OSDI?
I don't know. I guess I should be going, but
I would like to know.
Did you apply?
Good.
Yeah. Oh, USENIX 2008. Measurement and analysis of large-scale network file system workloads.
Okay.
Ethan Miller is one of the authors. This is from UC Santa Cruz and Network.
Do you know if they publish the traces? I don't think so.
If they publish the traces, I don't know. It may be embedded somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is something that, and basically what they are saying is that 90 to 95% of the disk is not accessed over long periods of time. I think they said that they did a study of 3 months. To see how long was this study. Three months, yeah. And basically they say that 90% or more of the file system was not used at all.
Whoa. Okay, but you mean the...
Over the entire 3 months.
But that's just a working set, or I mean,
was not not even used once. 90% of
yeah, but I mean, it's 90% of the whole space that you have, or it's not 90% of all the space you are using. So it's different, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Files are rarely reopened, so these are
okay.
These are the new observations that they have. This doesn't tell me. This doesn't give me that information. So where did I read that? I read it somewhere else. Thank you. Yeah, I think I have to look at this more carefully, but I think I read somewhere. Only 1% of requests are file I/O and 50% are metadata operations.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot more metadata operations than actual file I/O requests. So this sort of interesting study for us to take a look at and refer to actually. Yeah, okay. I think I'll have to read more carefully to find where I saw that information.
Do you know where, when are we notified about that?
November 5th or something like that.
5th?
Yeah, 4th or 5th, I don't remember. 4th, 3rd is the program committee meeting, when all the final decisions will be made. And then they will send out the notifications later. But I think on 3rd, after the program committee meeting, I would know whether our papers made it or not.
Right.
There are a whole bunch of papers that are actually interesting, which we did not see. In fact, yeah, so that's so are you interested in this?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a look of all this information and
okay, yeah, okay, that's good.